Well, I'm so happy to see everyone here tonight. We've got several here visiting. We're so thankful for your presence tonight. I'm really, really grateful for the opportunity to get to be with the church here. You've been so kind to invite me to come, and you've treated me so kindly, being very hospitable to me, and I appreciate that so very, very much. I look forward to us being together again one day, and certainly my life has been made better to have been a part of working with you in this place. A number of visitors are here. We're thankful for your presence. It's been made mention of. We've had visitors almost every night, I guess. And you've been very kind to us and coming and lifting up our hands and preaching the gospel. And we thank you for that. We've got one of my elders from Anderson here tonight checking up on me, making sure I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Pretty glad to see Ron and Denise Howard. And I'm glad they're here. They've made a good little trek over here. But we're glad to see them. If you're here tonight and not a member of the Church of Christ, we're really glad that you're here. We hope and pray that as we study together, we look at God's Word together, that you'll be touched by God's words. And as God's Word is taught tonight, we pray that you will listen very carefully, and anything that I might say that's not true or we've taken it out of its context in any way, you'd be my friend if you bring that to my attention. But we hope and pray that the lesson will be beneficial and helpful to you. We've got a few preachers in the audience tonight, and someone said, when you have preachers in the audience, some fellows say, well, they get all nervous and everything, but it doesn't make me nervous at all, because they're going to leave happy. If I preach a sermon that they haven't got, they're going to say, man, I got me a sermon for Sunday. They're going to be happy. And if they've already got this sermon, they'll just say, well, I can preach that lesson a lot better than he does it anyway. So they'll leave happy. So you can't make a preacher mad. We're glad to see all of you fellows here. Appreciate you being here. Glad to see Richard. He's out. He might be out here in a minute because he hadn't had any sleep for a good little while. My preaching, I'm sure, will zonk him out here in just a minute. But we're glad to see all of you here, and glad our sister's doing better, and they could be here tonight too. So let's study together from the Word of God. Tonight we're going to be talking about Jesus heals the blind. And there are a number of historical events in the life of Jesus where he heals the blind. And as we consider that, we're going to look at Luke chapter 4, verses 16 through 21. And if you have your Bibles, and I'll be reading from the New American Standard Version, please take your Bibles and open with me to this great text. Luke chapter 4, verse 16. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as is his custom, he entered the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read. And the book of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him, and he opened the book and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are downtrodden, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord." And he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all the synagogue were fixed upon him. And he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." What is interesting here when we read this great text, we learn that Luke, an inspired writer of these historical events of Jesus, he writes that Jesus begins his mission in Nazareth. And as he is in Nazareth, he goes to the synagogue, as was his habit, and he's handed the scroll of Isaiah. He turns and reads chapter 61, a portion of that passage. And as he reads that particular passage, Jesus Christ himself confirms the fact that this passage, which we refer to as a messianic text or prophecy, Jesus confirms that that prophecy was fulfilled in their hearing. That is significant. We've been studying all week about Jesus Christ, the fact that He is the Son of God. Here you have the Son of God giving witness, giving testimony, that He is the Messiah, that the deed of all the prophets Isaiah spoke of. And He says this passage is fulfilled in your hearing today. Well, we want to take this idea of Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God, and again look one more time at one of these great historical events. And we learn that Jesus Christ is indeed who He says He is. Well, when we consider healing the blind, Jesus did this a number of times. And I'm sure many more times than has been revealed because of our reading of John 20, where many other signs did Jesus do. But these have been written. So tonight we're going to look at a few different historical events of Jesus healing the blind. So, I've got 30 minutes and I've got 2 hours worth of material. Hang on with me. So buckle your seat belts, put your seats in an upright position. We're going to take off. In Matthew chapter 9, beginning at verse 27, I want to read with you this story of Jesus healing. And it begins, verse 27, Matthew chapter 9. The text says, "And as Jesus passed on from there, 2 blind men followed Him, crying out and saying, 'Have mercy on us, Son of David.' And after He had come to the house, the blind men came up to Him, and Jesus said to them, 'Do you believe that I am able to do this?' They said to Him, 'Yes, Lord.' Then He touched their eyes, saying, 'Be it done to you according to your faith.' And their eyes were opened, and Jesus sternly warned them, saying, 'See here, let no one know about this.' But they went out and spread the news about Him in all the land." Well, when we consider this great text, there were 2 men, as the text says, and they called Jesus the Son of David. Now, what is interesting about that particular phrase, Son of David, if you go back to the book of Matthew again, chapter 1, you'll notice that this particular phrase, Son of David, is a messianic term. Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the Son of David, the Son of Abraham. One of the things that the Gospel of Matthew stresses is the messianic prophecies fulfilled in regards to the kingship of Jesus Christ. So he calls Him the Son of David. It is interesting then that Matthew records this healing of the blind, these 2 blind men, and they had called Him the Son of David. To the Jew, that would ring a bell in regards to the coming one. So, we find in this great text that Jesus is indeed the Son of David. He says, "Then, do you believe I can do this?" And that is significant. We also find that they say, "Yes, Lord." Not only do they call Him the Son of David, they believe He can do this miracle. So, we find that Jesus touched their eyes. And as He touched their eyes, the text says that you should be healed according to your faith. Well, we learn from the text that their eyes were open. So what does that tell you about their faith? If Jesus says, you will be healed according to your faith, and their eyes were open and they were healed, that meant they had faith. So they believed Him to be the Son of David. When we consider this, He said, tell no one about this. Now, just a few nights ago, we ran into a similar story wherein Jesus, after raising Jairus' daughter, He said to the mom and dad, don't tell anybody. And the text specifically indicates to us, He kept on telling them again and again, don't tell anybody. And we mentioned the fact that Jesus seems to have been using reverse psychology. You know, when you tell someone, don't tell anybody, probably the first thing they're going to do is go tell somebody. And here we have Jesus again suggesting not to tell anyone. What does the text say happened? They went out and told everybody. They told everybody that they had been healed. Now that's a great and awesome story that demonstrates by evidence that Jesus Christ is the Son of David, which links him to the Messiah. If he is the Messiah, then he is certainly the Son of God. He's able to perform miracles. We've talked about that all week. What that proved and what that demonstrated. Who can do such great things except God alone? And Jesus has healed these two men of their blindness by touching them. He is who he says he is. Let's note another story. And this time we're looking in the book of Mark. The book of Mark, chapter 8. And let's read beginning at verse 22. Mark 8 and verse 22. And they came to Bethsaida, and they brought a blind man to him and entreated him to touch him. And taking the blind man by the hand, he brought him out of the village. And after spitting on his eyes and laying his hands upon him, he asked him, "Do you see anything?" And he looked up and said, "I see men, for I am seeing them like trees walking about." Then again he laid his hands upon his eyes, and he looked intently and was restored, and began to see everything clearly. And he sent him to his home, saying, "Do not even enter the village." Again, an interesting story of Jesus healing a blind man. This man is from Bethsaida, and Jesus took the blind man out of the village. Now, by the fact that we have that at the beginning of the historical event, and it's repeated at the end that he not go back into the village, I would suggest that is the same kind of language that would mean don't tell anybody. So rather than healing in the village where everybody would see it, he took him outside the village. He healed him and then told him don't go back into the village. Again, keeping it silent. We notice that after spitting in his eyes, and we have to stop there, don't we? I've studied through that. I've thought about that. And my mind just does not come up with any answers about that other than this. If I'm going to spit, now, I'm not going to go through the process of what it takes to spit. Whether he made any kind of noise preparing to spit, or he just spit, the man would have surely known what Jesus was doing. And if anybody spits in your face, what would be your reaction to that? That's nasty. Right? I mean, that would be insulting, would it not? Would it not be something that you would say, "Whoa, what'd you do that for?" Other than that, I ain't got a clue. Except, that's what Jesus did. He spit on his eyes. And then he laid his hands on him. And the text says, "Do you see anything?" And what is interesting in this healing is that the man says, "Men like trees walking around." I've often thought that that might be just a slight hint that the man may have seen before and lost his sight. Nevertheless, he didn't see clearly. I mean, you read that story, you kind of think, at first, if you're not careful, you might say something like, "Wow, Jesus didn't quite get the job done." At first, you might think that. But then, we find, according to the text, Jesus laid his hands upon his eyes, and the blind man saw everything clearly. Again, I have emphasized to us over and over and over and over again that Jesus performing these miracles did not do these miracles just to be doing miracles. There was a rhyme and a reason to it. First and primary, he was demonstrating and proving he is the Son of God, right? Number two, there is something about the healing of blind men that we're going to use as our conclusion in just a few moments. I will simply say this now. that when Jesus, healing this man, asked him first, "Do you see?" He said, "Well, essentially, sort of, kind of." But then he touched him again, and then he saw completely clear. What does that mean? I want to jump to the conclusion and say sight was gained progressively, and not all see the truth clearly at first. There is absolutely no doubt in my mind, is there yours, that had Jesus wanted to heal that man, bam, all at one time, he could have done that? How many times have we seen that already? He can do that, right? Why he chose not to do it that way, and he asked the questions, I think when we stitch all of these healing of the blind together, pun intended, we will all see more clearly ourselves why this incident. So, let's move to another one. Luke 18, verse 35. Luke 18, verse 35. Another story of a man being healed by the Lord. And read 35 through 43. Luke 18, 35 through 43. And it came about that as he was approaching Jericho, a certain blind man was sitting by the road, begging. Now hearing a multitude going by, he began to inquire what it might be. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And he called out, saying, "Jesus, Son of David," heard that term before? "Have mercy on me." And those who led the way were sternly telling him to be quiet. But he kept crying out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and commanded that he be brought to him. And when he had come near, he questioned him, "What do you want me to do for you?" I always think it's interesting that Jesus asks, "What do you want me to do for you?" What a great question. And he said, "Lord, I want to receive my sight." Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he received his sight and began following him, glorifying God. And when all the people saw it, they gave praise to God. The most obvious points here, this man is called Bartimaeus in Mark's account. And we find that it's at Jericho, the city of palms. It is the city, remember, that the man was left for dead, and the priest and the Levite passed by, and the Samaritan came by and helped him. That was on the Jericho Road. All right? Well, this is where Bartimaeus lives, and he calls out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." So this man also recognized he's blind, though, isn't he? But you don't have to see with your physical eyes to put two and two together as to who Jesus is. And he calls him the Son of David. And, as we see in the text, what do you want me to do? He says, to receive my sight. Receive your sight, Jesus says. Your faith has made you well. But again, we have this great story, this historical event of Jesus doing something that is unheard of. Making a blind man see. What a wonderful evidence about who Jesus Christ is. The text says immediately he received his sight. Immediately. Now, we questioned a moment ago, just for teaching purpose, Jesus having to touch the man twice. Here he only touched him once. We know he can heal with just one touch. Or one command. The man began following Jesus and glorifying God. We talked about that a little bit last night, about glorifying God. And how this man must have felt that he received his sight. He must have been, "Hallelujah, praise the Lord, thank you Jesus," however you want to say. I mean, he was happy. He was excited. He's glorifying God. Giving God the credit. Now think about this. Think about this. Here's another little small evidence within this historical event. Jesus heals this man. It is obvious. The man called him the Son of David. The man said, "You can do this." Then, who does the blind man, who can now see, who does he praise? God. Was he talking to Jesus? I would say to you, yes, he was. He was talking to Jesus. He was praising Jesus, the Son of David, who is God incarnate. Others became aware of the miracle. They praised God too. Well, we come to the story of all stories of the blind being healed. Now, I've got 15 minutes. I think I can make this work. So you still have your seatbelts. The sign has not come on to unbuckle your seatbelt. So hopefully you still got your seatbelt buckled. And we're going to read from John 9. John 9 is the story of a man being healed. And there's more information about this healing of a blind man than any other text. So we need to spend just a little bit of time right here. And I hope the time will be well spent as we look at God's Word. Look at John chapter 9. Verse 1. And as he passed by, he saw a blind man from birth. This is the only account, historical account, of a man being healed that was blind from birth. That is significant. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he should be born blind? Jesus answered, it was neither that this man sinned nor his parents, but it was in order that the works of God may be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me as long as it is today. Night is coming when no man can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle and applied the clay to his eyes and said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which translated, sent. And so he went away and washed and came back seeing. The neighbors, therefore, as those who had previously saw him as a beggar, were saying, is not this the one who used to sit and beg? Others were saying, this is he. Still others were saying, no, he is like him. He kept saying, I'm the one. Therefore they were saying to him, how then were your eyes opened? And he answered, the man who is called Jesus made clay, anointed my eyes, and said to me, go to Siloam and wash. So I went away and washed, and I received sight. And they said to him, where is he? He said, I don't know. They brought to the Pharisees him who was formerly blind. Now it was a Sabbath on the day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Again, therefore, the Pharisees also were asking him how he received sight. And he said to them, he applied clay to my eyes and I watched and I see. Therefore, some of the Pharisees were saying, this man is not from God because he does not keep the Sabbath. But the others were saying, how can a man who is a sinner perform such signs? And there was a division among them. They said, therefore, to the blind man again, what do you say about him since he opened your eyes? And he said, he is a prophet. The Jews, therefore, did not believe it of him that he had been blind and had received sight until they called the parents of the very one who had received the sight and questioned them, saying, is this your son who you say was born blind? Then how does he now see? His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But how he now sees, we do not know. Or who opened his eyes, we do not know. Ask him. He's of age. He shall speak for himself. His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews. For the Jews had already agreed that if anyone should confess him to be Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. For this reason, his parents said, he's of age, ask him. So a second time, they called the man who had been blind and said to him, give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner. He therefore answered, whether he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. They said therefore to him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered them, I told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? You do not want to become his disciples too, do you? And they reviled him and said, you are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he's from. The man answered and said to them, well, here's an amazing thing, that you do not know where he is from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a God-fearer and does his will, he hears him. Since the beginning of time, it has never been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. They answered and said to him, you were born entirely in sins, and are you teaching us? And they put him out. Jesus heard that they had put him out, and finding him, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? Jesus said to him, you have both seen him, and he is the one who is talking with you. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. And Jesus said, for judgment I came into this world, that those who did not see may see, and that those who see may become blind. Those of the Pharisees who were with him heard these things and said to him, we are not blind too, are we? Jesus said to him, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, we see. Your sin remains. Now that was quite the lengthy text. But there is tons of information there. So in the next 45 minutes, for the next couple of minutes, I'm going to show you some of the significant points, the bullet points that are there. Okay? It's a man born blind from his birth. No one's sin caused this. There was a question about that. Why is that significant? Because there was a general concept then, and there's a big concept of that today, is that if you've got some affliction, blindness or whatever, well, the reason you've got that is because you're a sinner. Or your parents sinned. Well, Jesus nipped that in the bud. Said, nope, that's not the case. Jesus said, so God's works might be seen. You see, providence in action and a miracle that used that providence to the glory of God. Did you understand what I just said? You're blessed if you do. Because I barely understood what I said. But I believe that's true. Because we don't understand it all. But Jesus said, this man is born blind and he's here now so that the glory of God may be seen. He spat on the ground, he made clay, he put it on the blind man's eyes. He washed in the pool of Siloam. He was healed of his blindness. It's amazing. We find that there's a growth of faith here. The growth of faith on the part of the blind man himself. We find here that he first gives credit to Jesus as just Jesus. He's just a man. But then we find later in verse 17, they question him again. He says, he's thought about it a little bit. He says, well, he must be a prophet. You go back and read some of the prophets and how they had great abilities at times to perform miracles and do extraordinary things. Both Elijah and Elisha, for example. But then he says, he believes he's from God. He reasons. This man, and you go back, and I'm just trying to give you some bullet points to whet your appetite to go back and study some more. But you see the progression of faith in this great text. This man is healed. He doesn't really know who Jesus is, but he winds up saying, well, he must be from God. How did he come to that conclusion? What rational thinking blind man who now sees come to that conclusion? Well, how in the world could anybody do such a fantastic thing unless God was with him? That seemed to be a very basic point that the Pharisees didn't get or didn't want to get. The man falls down and worships him. When he finds out that he is the Son of Man, understand, he didn't even know what the Son of Man was. But he put two and two together. If Jesus says, I'm the Son of Man, he put together the Son of Man, and that he's a prophet, and his name is Jesus, he worshiped him. Here you see the conversion of a blind man that, hold on, saw the light. He saw the light. Most importantly, spiritually. The Pharisees remained blind as bats. Didn't see a thing. They didn't want to see. Now, when you stop to consider Jesus healing the blind, you take all these and put them together. I think there's an important thing that is said in this John 9 chapter, verse 5. Jesus says, in front of the man to be healed, I'm the light of the world. You see, Jesus turned on the light, if you will, for the man physically. But it took a little bit for the light to come on spiritually. And the reason was to the glory of God, not the physical healing, but the spiritual healing. You remember back in the Isaiah passage that Jesus began his ministry? He quoted from Isaiah that he was going to heal the blind and preach the gospel to him. Be this witness, the recorded historical events of Jesus healing the blind, proving himself to be the Messiah, the Son of God, the Son of David, the Son of Man. He is God. I came to this world that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind. Obviously, this profound statement has such tremendous application to those who believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. But equally, it has profound significance to those who read the same Bible, hear the same preaching, hear the same teaching, but they don't get it. They can see, but they become blinder than bats. They cannot see. They don't want to see. In Matthew 13, verse 14 through 17, we'll read this just quickly, and we're coming to a conclusion here. Matthew chapter 13, notice if you will, verse 14. Matthew 13, beginning at verse 14. This is a familiar text to all of us. And in the case of the prophecy of Isaiah, again Isaiah, is being fulfilled, which says, you will keep on hearing, but will not understand. You will keep on seeing, but will not perceive. For the heart of this people has become dull, and with their ears they scarcely hear. And they have closed their eyes, lest they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and turn again, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, because they see, and your ears, because they hear. For I truly say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see, and did not see it, and to hear what you hear, and did not hear it. Did you notice there in verse 15, about the middle of that verse, and they have closed their eyes? I want to say this the easiest way I know how to say it. The gospel of Jesus Christ is not rocket science. It is simple. And people that are humble of heart get it. People that don't get it, they just can't see it. Now, there's probably people you're thinking about right now. Well, I wonder why so-and-so had never obeyed the gospel. I wonder why so-and-so, they've gone to church, they've done this, and we've had studies, and they've never... Think about it. According to these great texts. Do we not see why Jesus really healed the blind? His whole point was, go and report to John the things which you hear and see. The blind receive sight, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Healing, miracles, was showing the people that Jesus was from God, that He was the Son of God, so that they would believe what He had to say. It was proof that what He was saying was the truth. When you consider other great texts, you'll find, as we look, Jesus asked, who are we listening to? You remember the text that says Jesus warned about listening and following blind teachers, specifically the Pharisees, when He says if the blind man guides a blind man, both will fall into a pit? Who are we listening to? There are people all over this world that believe lots of different things. They're going lots of different directions. The question is, who are they listening to? When the blind are led by the blind, where do both wind up? Lost. The common problem that we have in our world today is people do not listen to Jesus, who is the light of the world. He is the only light of the world. So if you don't follow the light, you're going to be in the dark. And when you're in the dark, you are going to be blind. That's His point. Are we helping the blind to see? There's lots of blind folks, aren't there? We look around us. We should be trying to guide the blind, a light to those who are in darkness. That's our mission as God's people. There's blind people everywhere. And they're being led by blind people. And they're in the ditch. We have, through the gospel, the light of the world. We take that good news to them. And we turn the light on so that they can see and no longer be blind. The God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Did you notice this last little statement in this great text? What have we been studying all week about who Jesus is? Who is He? He's the Son of God. Well, notice this great text. It says, the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. That's what we've got to show people. We have to show people the light. Who are we showing? Jesus Christ. Who is He? The Son of God. But the God of this world has blinded folks. They laugh. They scorn at us. When we try to teach them the Word of God, they laugh at that. They belittle that. They don't want anything to do with that whatsoever. That's because the God of this world has blinded them. When we are not personally growing spiritually, we become blind too. It's important that we understand what Peter said, for he who lacks these qualities is blind and short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Blindness is a spiritual disease. And when we were baptized into Jesus Christ, we were healed of our blindness. We saw the light. But even as Christians, we can become blinded again when we forget who we are, what our mission is, what we're supposed to be doing. And if we're not growing ourselves personally, trying to mature and to do more, we're blinded. We also learn that lukewarmness is blindness. The book of Revelation tells us, Jesus said, so because you are lukewarm, you say, I am rich, have need of nothing, you do not know that you are blind. There are lots of brethren that are convinced they're just fine. They don't need gospel meetings. They don't need to go to Bible study. They don't need to read their Bible every day. Why? Because we're pretty good Christians. Well, how do you know you're pretty good Christians? Well, I don't ever murder. I don't ever steal. I'm pretty good. It's just like the Lord said. Because you say you have need of nothing, but you are blind, not realizing that you're poor. Hating your brother is blindness. But the one who hates his brother is in the darkness, does not know where he is going. The darkness is blinded his eye. You see, Jesus came as the light of the world. And what he teaches us, we cannot hate anybody. We're even to love our enemies. So if you have any hatred in your heart for anybody, especially for your brothers, you're blinded. You really have not seen the light. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in the darkness, but shall have the light of life. Question. Are you blind? What did Jesus come to the earth to do? To heal the blind. Well, that took me 7 extra minutes to say that. I apologize for not getting it done on time. I don't want to apologize for anything I said. I just need to go faster. But I hope you listened. I think you did. I hope and pray that we understand the great spiritual significance of Jesus healing the blind. You see, all of us have been blind. And Jesus healed us when we saw the light. That is His glory. As the Son of God, and we obey His will. But lest we forget, we can become blind again. We can lose our sight. You listened very patiently tonight. You listened very patiently all week. I thank you so very, very much for your listening. If there is one in the audience tonight that needs to see the light, you need to obey the gospel. You need to be baptized into Christ to wash away your sins. We're here to help you. To help you be obedient to Jesus Christ. If you've obeyed the gospel, you saw the light, you've been living your life a good while, loving the Lord, but you've just fallen away into the darkness, and the God of this world has blinded you. You need to come back to the light of God's Word. Listen to Him. Listen to what He says. He will receive you back. Come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Are you blind? Or do you see? If we can help in any way, would you come to stand and sing?